Now verse 6, but when Paul perceived that the one part were Sadducees and the other Pharisees, he cried out in the council, "Men and brethren, I am a Pharisee, the son of a Pharisee." We're getting much more information, you see now, about Paul and about his background. Now, his father was a Pharisee and apparently a wealthy man. Of the hope and resurrection of the dead, I'm called in question. You see, here are two parties in there. One believes the resurrection, one does not. And that doesn't mean the resurrection of Jesus they believed in, but they believed in the resurrection of the dead. The Pharisees believed it, the Sadducees denied it. And Paul turns it into a theological argument between fundamentalists and liberals. And my friend, you can always get them to argue. There's never a time when you can't get them at each other's throats. And so Paul is doing that here in his defense. And when he had so said, I'm now reading verse 7 of the 23rd of Acts, there arose a dissension between the Pharisees and the Sadducees, and the multitude was divided. For the Sadducees say that there's no resurrection, neither angel nor spirit, but the Pharisees confess both. And there arose a great cry, and the scribes that were of the Pharisees' part arose and strove, saying, "We find no evil in this man, but if a spirit or an angel hath spoken to him, let us not fight against God." The Pharisees actually now come to his defense. They find out he's a Pharisee, and they defend him. And when there arose a great dissension, this is the first time Luke has used it quite like that, and I'm of the opinion this was the worst dissension that is recorded in the book of Acts among any group. And when there arose a great dissension, the chief captain, fearing lest Paul should have been pulled in pieces of them, commanded the soldiers to go down, take him by force from among them, and to bring him into the castle. Now, Paul, again, his life was in danger, and this Roman captain reaches down and saves him. Now, this is a time when we say that you should not mix church and state, but the state is protecting the Apostle Paul at this particular point, and that is quite proper. Now, verse 11, and the night following, the Lord stood by him and said, "Be of good cheer, Paul. For as thou hast testified of me in Jerusalem, so must thou bear witness also at Rome." Now again, I must call your attention to this, that we believe Paul is in the will of God, and that it was God's will for him to go to Jerusalem. And all that the Spirit of God ever did was, "Paul, this is what's going to greet you there." And the Spirit of God is just saying, "Paul, maybe you better not go." But it's God's will for him to go. Now, will you notice, the Lord made it very clear to him. He said, "You're going to testify of me in Jerusalem, and you're going to bear witness in Rome." Now, this is God's method of the way that it is to be done. Because Paul had never had this opportunity before, either in Jerusalem or in the city of Rome. He hadn't even been to Rome at this time. So this man is in the will of God. And when the Lord appeared to him, he didn't say, "Now look, Paul, I told you not to come up here. You'd get in trouble." And the Lord says, "You're in trouble because this is the way that I've got you here, and it's the way I'm going to get you over to Rome." And it was God's method.